I once heard an interesting statement that they say, the name of like Chabad Chassidus. I don't know, one of the rebbes said it probably, but I think it's definitely a wise statement. I think I heard it in the name of like somewhere in the Chabad. The idea is people are afraid of doing tshuva because it means they won't be able to sin anymore. And people really like sinning. I think I once heard of Blackman giving a mush. It's like, you ever drive around without a seatbelt and the car starts beeping? It's like, imagine if every time you sin, there was a beep. Like, you don't want that. You want to sin and have there be no beep. You want to drive your car the way you want to drive it, without your seatbelt on, and you don't want that aggravating, continuous beeping in the back of your, in the back, ringing in your head. And in a certain sense, no one's afraid to go to shul on Rosh Hashanah. But like to do a deep, sincere, genuine, introspective tshuva, that can be a little scary. Like imagine if I told you, you really should never speak Russian hard again, and you tried to do that. What would life look like? You know what I mean? That's like really scary. It really, again, the reason why it's not so scary for us is because we kind of feel we'll try our best to minimize Lashon Hara, or maybe not Lashon Hara, but some other Avera. You know, it's a lot easier to tell yourself you're going to daven every morning because that's already like something that's not so overwhelming. But like parts of religion that are really, really difficult for us to do tshuva in those areas are really tough because, frankly, we don't really want to change. We're kind of happy the way we are. And therefore, a real tshuva would mean sacrificing a lot about myself that I like, and I don't want to do that. I'm unwilling, I'm unprepared, I'm afraid, frankly, to give up the parts of me that I like. And therefore, tshuva can become daunting, tshuva can become overwhelming, tshuva can become scary. How do people do it? They just read the Siddur and don't think about it. That's one solution, not a good one. Sometimes people say all sorts of things without really thinking about it. Good, I'll never speak Russian Hara again. I'll never fight with my brother again. I'll always be on time to davening. Ready for your Rosh Hashanah, you know, Baruch Hashem. Quick tshuva this year. But that's also disingenuous. And, you know, just like wearing a mask. You haven't gained anything. You just kind of like went through unsincere lip service. And therefore, I guess the question I want to discuss for a few minutes today is how does one really allow themselves to do tshuva, yet simultaneously internalize it, want it? So I do believe that perhaps Shana Yeshiva is one of the greatest places to do it because in high school it's even more challenging. In high school, the classic tension people have is, I want to be me, and if I give God too much, there's no room left. I want to do what God wants. I want to do what I want. They don't match, and therefore we make a compromise. I will wake up for Shachar Sunday morning, or Friday morning if you go to MTA, but I will not go to Minyan. I will go to Minyan, but I will not keep the halakhas of Negiah. I will keep the halachas of Negia, but not with that one girl. Her, I'm not yet ready for. And everyone kind of like draws a line in the sand and cheshbons out and makes some type of compromise with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and presumably they themselves, with their deep philosophical understanding at age 14, have worked at exactly which mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu really values and which ones he's mochel on for you. And Baruch Hashem, it happens to work out perfectly that the ones that are convenient for you to be mevater on is exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mevater on, and the ones that he really cares about are conveniently the ones you really care about. And, you know, I understand this mindset. It's like a classic high school mindset. I don't blame anyone. It's a really big challenge. How do you sacrifice everything about yourself and throw yourself into God fully? It's a lot. I like to joke around and say, most high school kids I know want to do just enough avera mitzvos to enjoy Olam Haba and just enough averos to enjoy Olam Hazeh. They want a perfect 64.5 rounding up, not even a 65. In other words, I want to pass and make it into Olam Haba, but I definitely don't want to do what it takes to get there because that means Olam Haba has to stick. And I think that's really the core of this fear of doing sincere tshuva, because I don't really want to be the guy who God really wants me to be. And even though I wish I wanted that, and I know it's right to want it, it's unbelievably difficult to enjoy a life that's sin-free. And that's really what like real tshuva is all about. Now, I know I never get there because it's perfect, but I should at least want it. Now, it's a tricky thing, because if you don't really want that, so essentially it's just ech teva ashuv, which doesn't work. Ech teva ashuv means I'll sin and I'll just be forgiven. That doesn't work. So where is there any room between perfection, which is impossible, and therefore you got to have a little bit less than perfection, versus ech teva ashuv, I'll sin and I'll just do tshuva, which doesn't work. And I think the answer to that question is ech teva ashuv means I'll do a particular sin right now, and then I'll do tshuva. I'll be mechal Shabbos right now, I'll do tshuva later. That doesn't work. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Ech teva ashuv doesn't navigate us into a limited realm of life, which is perfection. Ech teva ashuv means I should not consciously sin with the mindset of doing tshuva. I know I'm going to live long enough, or most likely, b'yayin hara, to sin. I want to live even long time. I don't want to sin ever. And if you would ask me right now, I have no policies to sin. Every one of my policies are mitzvahs. But I screw up. I make mistakes. I have yetzer hara. Sometimes I see things in the short-sighted perspective and not the long-sighted one. Sometimes I'm religiously confused and don't know what's mutter and what's not. Sometimes I don't care to know. Like, there's all sorts of trouble I find myself in. But I think point number one is, as a policy, I have no averos. I never try to do an avero just to relax a little bit. But I think that's even a difficult policy to develop. People struggle even committing to a policy of, I'll try my best, and really my best, even if I come up short, which is, by definition, human. God never created you to become perfect, He only created you to become better. That's when we aspire to become better, not perfect. It is really difficult not just to aspire for perfection, which again is impossible, but even to like developing a policy of no averos. And therefore, I want to share with you two or three tips or eitzas or pieces of advice to enable one to either adopt that policy, and if you're not yet such a Baal Madrega, at least take a step closer to where, to that policy, a step closer to where you should be going. And if you're not yet ready, so no one's judging anyone. Let's not pretend we are if we're not. That's disingenuous. But let's at least be honest enough to say, even though I'm not yet ready to take on everything, I do want to take small steps in the right direction, and hopefully that's worth something. How does one take those steps in the right direction? How does one move in the right direction? How does one take small steps? Big enough that you're making progress, yet small enough that you don't trip over your own 2 feet, you don't throw yourself in a fake way. How does one slowly move in the right direction? So I think there's two or three perspectives to have. Number one is, I think it's important to, as best as you can, iron out hashkafic issues. The more you feel comfortable, the more you feel at ease, the more you identify with Torah mitzvahs, the easier it is to live a life based upon that identity. The more you've worked out issues, I identify greatly with the Torah's value of Ahavta Lecha Kamocha. That's an easy one. I don't know anyone who like struggles with that value. Like, what? The Torah wants me to love other people and be nice and kind? Where do they get off? Like, no one has that perspective. People have a tougher time dealing with other issues. And in different societies, different issues. In the more Western modern world, the issues are more the pluralistic issues and human rights issues and women's issues and other issues along that nature. And there's a good chance people who grew up in that world struggle with that. People who grew up in a different world, if you'd grown up 300 years ago, that probably question wouldn't bother you. No one was bothered with women's rights 150 years ago. They were trying their best just to feed their children. They didn't have time to worry about rights. However, they had other challenges. Their challenges were, I don't know, being honest and yashar. If you didn't have enough money to feed children, should you be stealing? Or how do you balance taking your own food versus theirs if you grew up in a poverty-stricken family? There are people out there who struggle with all sorts of issues. People to the right
strong right-wing people have a tough time dealing with the Torah, where it's more to the left. And people to the left struggle with Torah is more to the right. The Torah values giving money to stock up, even if the person's not working. Although working is better, a strong right-winger may struggle with that. The Torah doesn't see men and women as identical. A strong left-winger may struggle with those gender values. There's a lot of issues we value. Hashkafic issues. But I would say Yisod number one is learn how to identify as much as you can, and what you struggle with identifying, at least have a plan. And I'll show what I mean by having a plan. I tell people all the time, I struggle with the halachas of Amalek. I don't like them at all. If God would ask me to change the Torah, I'd probably be a little more sensitive towards killing Amaleki babies. However, I humbly recognize my place, which is not to interfere with mitzvahs daraisa. One day maybe I'll be a Baal Madrega and I'll be able to internalize that value if I understand it properly. But until then, I humbly recognize that my job is not to cut and paste Torah to what I like or to what's convenient for me. And I humbly ignore or try to work with my own ideology because I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some things have an easier time that resonate with me. I was giving a shot of vegetables a few weeks ago, and I was talking to Eishes Yifas Torah, and I struggled with that for a long time. However, there's a medrash, there's a Ksavu Kabbalah, there's a Shitas out, and I talk about Eishes Yifas Torah in a totally different context. They talk about Eishes Yifas Torah is you can't just take a wife any way you want to. You have to do it respectfully. Take her to the manicure, cut her fingernails, treat her properly, give her her time. When you can't just ransack a city and take whatever you want. You have to treat her the right way in Eishes Yifas Torah. When I heard that, I had a totally different perspective. It resonated with me significantly more. That's not Shita's Rashi. Rashi's not the only Shita. Anyone who wants to Mordechai Sabata, Rabbi Sabato, the one from Akotel, who learned here, now he's Rabbi Malandamid. His brother has a beautiful article on. You can take a look. It's Pshat in the place, like four or five textual indications of Pshat in the Pasuk. So some of it's learning Hashkafa, and some of it's dealing with parts of Hashkafa that are not as easy for you. There's a story I like to tell about the Satmar Rebbe was critical of the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe, I think it was in the election, maybe 96 or so, between, I think it was, Shimon Peres and Bibi Netanyahu, the first time Bibi ran for office. And the Ger Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, with that election, hung up signs all over that said, it's a mitzvah to vote. So Satmar Rebbe went like, yeah, a mitzvah? Satmar Rebbe is a big, strong anti-Zionist, even though I think he has a great grandson in the army. They don't see eye to eye. I saw that video on YouTube. But kids, so the Satmar Rebbe is a very strong anti-Zionist. They're like the epitome of anti-Zionist, maybe just behind the Zohar Kabbalah, who's like, not just anti-Zionist in the extreme sense, almost like dangerously, recklessly, you know, borderlining Rodef anti-Zionist. But the Satmar Rebbe is an anti-Zionist. He was very upset to Ger Rebbe. He goes, a mitzvah? Think it's a mitzvah to vote? So the Ger Rebbe says, yeah, I really do. I think it's a mitzvah to vote. So the Satmar Rebbe says, a mitzvah like matzah? And the Ger Rebbe says, no, it's a mitzvah like maror. Now, I happen not to like the anti-Zionistic part of that story with the Mitzioni. But the point is a powerful point. Some mitzvahs are supposed to taste like maror. And that's okay. And if you realize that, the bad taste doesn't bother you as much. Baruch Hashem, most of the mitzvahs are matzah, not maror. Or Simchas Yontif, not maror. But one thing is, allow Hashkafa to resonate with you. The more you feel you trust and identify with the system, the easier it is to buy in. Number two, I spoke about this a little bit at Tishrei, but it's worthwhile to reiterate. Enjoy Torah. Enjoy Shmiras and Mitzvahs. Love it. We're in control of our own happiness. Allow yourself to enjoy it. Do things that make you enjoy them. Parts of Torah that resonate with you automatically, do them a lot. Learn how to do live to us Hashem in the following way. Pesimcha. Enjoy. Some of our enjoyment is based upon reality. We can't control it. A lot of our enjoyment is based upon our perspective. The more you enjoy Torah and mitzvahs, the less overwhelming it is. The more you enjoy mitzvahs, the more easy it is for them to resonate with you. And thirdly, allow yourself to realize the not just great importance, but unparalleled importance of mitzvos. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you this is what I find meaningful, it's meaningful. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you the value of a mitzvah is of profound depth, infinitely great, realize, wow, value every mitzvah, love every mitzvah, enjoy every mitzvah, but really appreciate the koach of a mitzvah as much as we can. Sometimes we get caught up, correctly so, but not correctly so to be caught up, in developing a deep religious personality. As if, like, mitzvahs are a means to a religious personality, and there's truth to that. You read the Sefer HaChinuch, and almost every single mitzvah there is designed to accomplish a particular character trait. This is to make you more benevolent, this is to make you more cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is to make you more patient, this is to make you more kind. The mitzvahs help facilitate, develop a religious personality. However, there's a second value to the mitzvah, which is not a means towards the ends of developing midos properly, but simply an end in and of itself. I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does because he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a deep, profound value for it. This manifests itself in an interesting machlokas in Maseches Kedushin regarding the principle of Gadol Mitzuveh Va'oseh Mishena Mitzuveh Va'oseh. Why is it Mitzuveh greater? Why is it more Gadol? Why is there more reward? Why is there more schar for being commanded? One would have understood the opposite intuitively. When you initiate on your own, you're not commanded, you're doing it because you want it. Doesn't that show greater value? The truth is the Gemara tradition does have a Havamina. Rav Yossi thought that was really greater, and that's why he wanted to make a party for Rav Yehuda, who thought a blind man was Pater. Turns out, he was wrong, and at the end of the day, we pass by the Chachamim, he's Chayit, but the Schar is greater there, and therefore, everything worked out nonetheless, everything worked out well nonetheless. But why is that? Why is Gadol Mitzuveh Va'oseh and Mishena Mitzuveh Va'oseh? So there's a few days, I'll show it to you, 2 days found in the Ritva, in Kedushin right there in Chavtes. Or Lamed. One day is Lefum Tzara Agra. The more you struggle, the more reward you get. However, the reason for that is the second day, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things he cares about most commandments, things he cares about a little bit less, he made them optional. And the best proof that he cares about mitzvahs more is that he made them mandatory. The things he really wanted, he said, do them. They're mandatory. The things he didn't care as much about, he said, there's a nice thing to do, but you don't have to. Based on that mindset, you understand Gadol Mitzuveh because you're doing things with great inherent value. And therefore, as we approach Rosh Hashanah, and try our best to genuinely commit to a more committed life. Rosh Hashanah, the Aser HaSemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, as we try and work our way into the holiday season. We should do a sincere tshuva. We should not be afraid of tshuva. It may take time to cultivate enough religious depth to do a real tshuva. Again, no one expects to be perfect. If you can already have a policy where I do no averus, Ashrecha b'tocha. And if not, slowly move in that direction. And the way you move in that direction, I believe, is allowing the values of Torah to resonate, enjoying Torah on an emotional level, and appreciating the deep, profound power and meaning of Torah. And with this, as well as many other things, we should all be zocha to a tshuva gemura. Average of Xim, Ximatov, and Shabbos. Wonderful.